Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahadiryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Shanti, Shanti, Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Shri Krishna Sandarbha, Adhyayana 4, Adhikarna 2, The Glories of the Eternal Associates of Krishna. The Lord appears in this world for the benefits of the jivas in general, but how much more he comes for the devotees. Otherwise, he would not appear, for he is beyond material gunas, nirgunasya, but he is also endowed with all good qualities as his surup, gunatmanaha. Right? So he's coming for the benefit of the people, right, in general, because the material world is meant for the living entities to uplift themselves and go back to Godhead. So in general, he's doing that. But specifically, he's appearing for the devotees, right? Because of their relationship and that. And so then that reciprocation, that's the interesting thing. The other is a matter of, you know, interest, but it's not, it doesn't have the direct aspect like the association, because that's dynamic. The other one is that it's duty, and he's trying to bring people to that platform. Right, though it's duty means it's his interest. It's not that it's established by anyone else. And otherwise, why would he come? He doesn't have to come here because he doesn't have any material qualities. He doesn't need to be here. Right, we're here because we have material consciousness. So because of that material consciousness, then we're put here. If we have spiritual consciousness, no need to be here. So therefore, Krishna has no need to be here because there's no mundane qualities in him that it's a necessity. Does that make sense? You know, it's like certain fish, they're out of water. Right? You know, they have to be in water. You know, even you have, I think, there's one kind of catfish, at least in America, it can actually walk from one lake to another. I mean, not on feet, it goes on its fins. But the point is if they're in one lake and it's drying up, that they'll actually go out of it and go until they get to the next one. So somehow or another they can breathe, but they prefer being in the water. You know? Like that. So Krishna's not like that. But that doesn't mean he doesn't have qualities. He has all spiritual qualities. Because otherwise we take it from the mundane perspective. Because see, is that the impersonalism in these aspects come up because we think material world's terrible. And why is it terrible? Everything we deal with, anything we want gives us problem, anyone we deal with gives us problem, any situation gives us problem, any interaction gives us problem. And so all these things have existence. Right? They have existence, they have qualities, they have this, so the qualities are bothering us, their existence is bothering us. Therefore, things should not have any qualities, and they forms, and that should not exist. So because of this negative attitude, then they think, this is bad, so therefore I want to get out of this, so there I want to get to a position that doesn't have any of these things. Does that make sense? You know, just like, let's say, you're in a situation where everything's crazy, so you want to get to a situation where anything that's in that crazy situation is not present. Does that make sense? Like, let's say you're out in the jungle, mosquitoes, this, bugs, everything, and the hot, sweaty. You want to get to a place where there's no bugs, it's not hot, it's not sweaty. You understand? So it's just the negative reaction. You know, so they'll say, no, this is spiritual, but actually it's not. It's totally mundane. Right? They're going for a spiritual higher thing because they're trying for the absolute, but their approach to it is 100% mundane, just as much as anyone else. Yes?
It's the same kind of logic. If we say that alternative to hunger is no food.
Yes, that's a good.
But actually, alternative to hunger is food.
Food, yes. Yes, exactly. Does that make sense? So it's not logical. It's an emotional reaction. Right? But they'll claim that we are the gyanis, we're the intellectuals. You know, so they may have working with that capacity, but they've made this decision based on their mundane position as a, you know, that means as an individual, but with mundane perspective. Because, like Prabhu pointed out, if hunger is there, and that's because of need of food, if you get rid of the need of food, then there's no hunger. Why not just get food? Right? If you're eating bad food, why not get good food? So therefore, the living entity, it's qualities that's inspiring them. But in the negative, they want to get rid of qualities. But they're inspired that, yes, unlimited and unchanging, they're inspired by qualities. They just don't go, it's just nothing, right? You know, they already defeated the Buddhists, right? The Shankarites, that's one of the main things they did. Because they just say nothing, pure nothing. Right? So the Shankarites don't. They talk about Brahman, the light. Light's already quality. You know, it's unlimited, it expands forever, it's unchanging. You know, it's you know, full of bliss, it's full of knowledge. So they're already describing qualities. But they only want those qualities, because anything outside of that they've seen gives trouble. Right? You like something, it changes. That's a problem. You like something, it's temporary. That's a problem. Right? So you see, it's just because they're an individual, they're a living entity. Therefore, they're responding the way they do. So, therefore, he's endowed with all good qualities as a sarup. Right? His sarup is all good qualities. Just the effulgence of his sarup is creating the material world. Right? The material world is full of all qualities and all that. So that means just the effulgence has qualities. But they're in general, generic qualities, right? But for the materialist, then they perceive as a negative, no non-quality Brahman. It's not that that's what Brahman is. Brahman is the effulgence of its qualities, right? Does that make sense? Just like the sunshine is a generic sun. It's not specific sun. Right? And because of that, everything's growing. If there's sun, everything grows. There's no sun, it doesn't grow. So, yeah. After the dinosaurs, did everything reset and start all over again? What survived after the dinosaurs by there?
I guess it was really cold.
Yeah.
Some fish,
oh, because they're in the water.
Yeah. Some water entities survived.
Those that were deep inside.
Okay, that didn't depend upon. But the thing is those ones deep inside are dependent upon what's down there, and what's down there is dependent upon what's up. Because when what's up dies, it comes down. And then they eat that.
Somehow they survived, and then they just crawled out after, you know, millions of years.
Okay, so basically it was kind of like a reset.
Yeah.
The great reset that they're talking about, okay. And they're hoping that they're deep enough that they're going to survive. Okay, because everything started in the water, but instead of it just being again... what do you call it? One cell, then it was the multi-celled organisms. Okay, so sun, from sun everything grows. Right? But it's the sunlight that is growing from. Not directly the sun. So therefore the whole existence of everything is just coming from Krishna's effulgence, his Brahman. Because the sun is just a reflection of the Brahman. Yeah?
Yeah.
And so how can it be this nirguna, this negative Brahman that they talk about? So that's their perspective, so Krishna appears to them like that. Just like with the yogis, he appears as Paramatma. Those we see when Krishna and Arjuna visited Mahavishnu, he wasn't, you know, just alone. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, or when they go visit Kirudakshaya, or when they go visit Garbhodaksha, he's not alone. He's with his associates. He's having his pastimes. But he appears to the yogi as just Paramatma, just alone. So the feature of Paramatma is he controls his energies. Right? So that aspect, it doesn't mean it doesn't manifest the pastimes of his devotees. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How are such pastimes beneficial for the people? By understanding Krishna in this way, this benefit occurs. Kamam krodham bhayam sneham aikyam sauhridam eva cha nityam harau vidadhato yanti tan mayatam hite. Persons who constantly direct their lust, anger, fear, protective affection, and feelings of impersonal oneness or friendship towards the Lord are sure to attain realization of Him. Tanmayatam means deeply absorbed in Krishna. Lust, affection, and friendliness end in attraction to Him. Just as a low-class man may develop attraction for a woman through absorption in her, however, anger, fear, and impersonal oneness generally produce merging into the Lord, like milk merging into water. One word, tanmayatam, in this case, may have different meanings because of the descriptive context. Syach chaikasya brahma shabdavat. Words can have a figurative meaning as well as a literal meaning in one passage. As with the Lord word Brahman in Taittiriya Upanishad, Brahma Sutra 2.3.4. Anger and fear are included in order to teach the power of thinking of the Lord by using kaimutya. It is not surprising that the kama of the gopis made them successful by making it follow after Krishna. Right? So you can have both at once. So if there is any other figure, it doesn't mean that the literal is not there. Right? You know, and because the literal is there doesn't mean it can't have the poetics and everything. So that's the difficulty, is that people will see is that there's only, or it just means this and it doesn't have any of the fineness. Or it's just figurative, so it's not actually, we don't have to take it seriously. Does that make sense? You know, it's like, I don't know when it was. It was like some years back. Yeah, 10 years or something, where there was this kind of thing going around, coming up from probably from the modern academy, that these stories in Bhagavatam are figurative or just analogies. They're not, they didn't actually happen, they're just stories. You know, so you know, naturally we learn from the stories and this and that, but we don't have to take necessarily the culture and this and that. That's not important. It's about that there's a point to be made, you know, just like in how do I call it, in the West, Aesop's Fables or any things like that. You know, it's not that we care about the animals or this or that or what they did. It's not that it's real. It's just no. There's a point to be made, and so it was done through this. You know, I think they're called parables or, you know, different things like that. You know, does that make sense? You know, so you don't. It's not as serious. It's just giving a direction to kind of like that. And so that just leaves the door open for speculation. As it's come from a culture of speculation, so naturally they always want to create the environment of a speculation because they're comfortable in that. You know, it's just like anybody wants to create an atmosphere in which they're comfortable. You know, someone likes high energy, they want to be in an environment of high energy. Someone likes it peaceful, they want to be in an environment of that. So for speculators, they want to be in that environment. So it leaves it open, because if you can speculate, means then one, you get the pleasure of the mind and that and intelligence of going all over the universe. But it also means then you're independent to do what you like, because there's no absolute. So, yeah. So here you can have both of them at once.
Smart. Why? Whatever you're explaining, that is called a Kaimutya Nyaya. Kaimutya refers to a Kaimutya Nyaya.
Oh, okay.
It's one of the type of argumentation where you compare between two things, which is more, which is less, like that. In English it's called fortiori argument. F-O-R-T-I-O-R-A. I don't know what it
is. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. And so what's the point of it? You're trying to just make things relative.
Yeah.
So you're relativizing. So that was one of the big things that Prabhupada in 1970 was very disturbed about, is that the devotees were talking a way to relativize his position and therefore relativize the authority of Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's just he's that, so therefore you can do. So there's always this thing, like I heard that there's some new course has come up on hermeneutics, some official course, but the thing is this doing is talking about, well, you know, some things come up because of just how people practice, or the place, or the area, or this or that. But the difficulty that will be found is that then you can take things that you don't appreciate that have come up in an area, let's say, just for, you know, how you say, a completely random example, let's say, like India. You know, and so the culture they do, the food, the dress, the this and that, that doesn't actually matter. You know, there's something more important than that. And so then they try to relativize things. You know, it's just like America is a country, India is a country. So they're both just mundane countries, so why do we prefer one or the other, right? People are from a certain place, then they act according to their place. You're an American, you do it as an American. You're in India, you do it as an Indian. Is that, yeah? So this kaimutya then is used to relativize things, because then when you can relativize it, then you can deal. But here, you can have both at once and not relativize things. Right? Does that make sense? Why be astonished? So,
I was thinking, why separate the message of its context?
Hmm.
Because if the message, like say in a Purana, the message is, sometimes it's obvious, sometimes it's not.
Mm-hmm.
But the context, it's, how you say, it's very beautiful actually.
Mm-hmm.
So if we only take the message saying it's, you know, it's the context is not relevant to modern people,
mm-hmm.
then what we do, actually, we rob ourselves of, you know, the whole beauty,
yes,
of the story. See,
yes.
We don't gain anything, actually.
No, no. But there's a satisfaction in feeling that you're superior. Because that's always been one of the... I mean, the living entity in general in the material world is always trying to establish themselves over others. But we see that the Western administrative principles, the religious principles, and the educational principles, they always are used by the West to establish their superiority over all that be. You know, that it's always one of those, whichever one works. You know, economics also can work. So, not that they're not bases, means knowledge, influence, wealth, you know, all these things are there, though they don't use age, because then the problem is the countries that are most active in this are the newest. You know, I mean, America is what, you know, 200 something years old, Russia is what is, it's, now it's about 100 years old, it's newer form of the, from the communists, you know, in that form. China is also about that. I think the first revolution was somewhere around the beginning of the last century. Yeah, so like that, 100 years old. 100 years old, 200 years. So they can't use age, because otherwise, then, you know, the old tradition in China is thousands of years old. The old tradition in Russia is hundreds of years old. And Europe goes back thousands of years. So they can't use, age can't be respected. You know, so then it's just power or that or knowledge, something like this. So they're natural qualities of Krishna to be respected, but they're used in that way. So they'll take something out of the context so that they don't look bad. You know, you can't have that, you know, the West only figured out about germs a little over 100 years ago, but then you have the Ayurveda and all that talking about them thousands of years ago, you know. You can't have that. Or the wealth and all that of India was so much greater. Well, you know, in Europe, according to their history, they were, you know, living in caves and going out with a club every day. You know, to, how he said, hunter-gatherers, I think is what they called them. You know, and so you just can't have that. So then they have to relativize everything and just say, oh, these are just, you know, this is what they would like to see, but, you know. And that they even probably picked up because people from Greece and that used to come to India, you know, and so they probably talked about their, you know, their architecture and that. And some in India thought, yes, that would be wonderful. You know what I'm saying? They always do these things. So we have to be very, very careful that we don't, what is it, kaimutyize things, you know, relativize things. Is that the environment they're in, that's the beauty of the Vedic, is that for a particular goal, there is actually a proper action with a proper attitude in a proper situation. But in the West, they can't explain this. They can say, yes, yes, we can, but what you're explaining today is different from what it was yesterday. And tomorrow, the next generation will say it's different. You know, it's just like, now it'll be said, you know, happiness is being on your phone. You know? But before, it was happiness was being with people.
So this form of logic is actually, the fourth theory is also a Latin word, and it means that you're making obvious conclusions from one argument. The conclusion of one argument you're using in something which is more stronger. Just like English is difficult to learn for even the native speakers.
Right.
What to speak about non-native speakers.
Right.
This is like a form of kaimutya. Just like we say that Krishna bestowed so much mercy on the putana, mm-hmm. What to speak about.
Okay. Yeah, so you can use it in the positive way also.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so then it's using that, yeah, does that make sense? You're showing if one is there, then the other one will be even greater. Right? Rather than how we were talking before, relativizing, where you take it the other way. You know, you take a situation, you take away its glory, and you just, the mechanics, and then you just compare it with theirs. So they use it in the negative sense. But it has its natural form in the positive. Yeah. Why be astonished? Nachaivam vishmaya karayo bhavata bhagavat yaje yogeshwareshware krishne yata etad vimuchyate. You should not be so astonished, since he is Bhagavan, unborn, the unborn master of all masters of mystic yoga, endowed with the complete manifestations of qualities, and thus liberates such persons from this world. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:29-16. It is not surprising what the Lord can do for the gopis, since the Lord liberates persons endowed with hatred. Some of the gopis, by perfection of worship, during the prakat pastimes, were new persons. Unlike the nitya siddhas, they attained Satchitananda bodies. Thus they had no fault, so the wise describe it.
I don't know. I got blank when the cardinal started.
Just got into the ecstasy argument. You want to take a break and go out and dance?
Not at all.
Yes.
They say they were new persons and they had no fault.
Well, you have something against new persons?
No,
what it means here is that there's no fault in worshipping the Lord with lust. Because that was the whole point. Because we had here is that persons who constantly direct their lust, anger, fear, protective affection, and feelings of impersonal oneness or friendship towards the Lord are sure to attain realization of Him. Right? But we see is that in one group, means that the anger, fear, and impersonal oneness, those generally give a impersonal understanding, you know, of merging. But the other words, then the lust, the fear, the protective affection, feelings, and friendship, those will develop a personal relationship. Like that. So there's no fault with their meaning. Like that. Because other ones someone might say there's fault, but since you're showing, using this kaimuti and this natural form of showing, comparing something lesser to something higher, you know, it's just like you say, like Prabhupada gives the example, all your 100 rupee problems are solved. That means your 10 rupee problems are solved. You know, you don't have to separately mention. Or where you say is, even liberation cannot not attain to the transcendental position. So that automatically means, you know, karma, artha, and dharma can't attain it either. Right? Does that make sense? So you're comparing the lower to the higher in here. Does that make sense? But, you know, you're using it in the... You can use it in the positive and the negative. So, okay, so there was no fault in them. You know, so it's saying during the Prakat pastimes, that means that they're new persons. Means they're new to the pastimes. It means that, of course, they were there originally, but then they fell from that. Now they're coming back. Because everyone starts as Nitya Siddha. Right? Then you don't move forward to prema, so then one moves away, and then one becomes nityabhata. So this thing that nityabhata means you're from here is bogus, because no, you were nityasiddha originally. So how can you say you're from this position? Something. Yeah. And then now they come back to that position, and then by that they attain perfection. They come to that transcendental position, so then they're properly situated on the platform of bhava. Then by the association of the nityasiddha, then that attraction for Krishna, then it comes to the point it becomes fixed. So, yeah, because perfection means that the transcendental position. So whatever may be the thing, they come to that position.
Also, this whole thing is described in the context of proving that the associates of the Lord, Nityasiddhas, they don't change their bodies. Mm. They don't actually give up their bodies as the materials.
Mm.
So for the Nityasiddhas, they don't. But for those who are sadhakas still, then they may attain the Satchidananda body,
yes.
Giving up.
To yes, so they give up. So when you say, Prabhupada says, you solve the problem of birth, death, old age, and disease, means you accept the body that doesn't have that. Doesn't mean this body is not going to die. The people they say, you solve that, oh, then I'll live forever. You all are going to live, but not in this body. You want to be this old, creaky old guy forever? You know. You do have those problems in some of the contemporary religious views is that, you know, you're old. What age are you going to be your age when you get to heaven? You know, so they don't really have an answer for that. Some say that, well, depending upon when you actually took seriously God consciousness, that's the age you'll be. If you figure that out at 80, you're going to eternally be 80. You know, that's just, you know, well, what, you know, because he did it earlier. But then the whole point is that's not fair, because that guy that did he was he born into a religious family? Was he born into a nice situation where he could be religious, or was the other person did it into there? Because if that's the case, you know, that it's about, you know, since it's not about that, then wouldn't, let's say you have a religious family and their child didn't become religious, wouldn't that be worse than the guy who was from a background that wasn't religious and then maybe at the end of his life he became religious? Wouldn't he even be in a better position? You know, so let's say that person, let's say instead of at 80, you know, at 60, you know, or 50, he became religious. But shouldn't there be a punishment for having been in a good situation and not taken advantage? Or shouldn't that add a few years so then he'll be like the 80-year-old? So all these things are their problem. So the point is once nityasiddha, then one leaves that. Because we take it nityasiddha means prema. We have our own definitions. Nityasiddha just means has not been conditioned. Because it's on the eternal platform. It's not on mundane time. So they're nityasiddha. You've never been conditioned. Then, because you don't turn towards Krishna, therefore you become conditioned. And then in this world, you're just going to keep on going. It's desire. It just keeps going one after another. Because you perform an action, it gets a reaction. In that situation, you do something more. It just keeps going. So it's nityabhata. And when you turn your attention back again to the spiritual platform, then one leaves this nityabhata and attains again to the nityasiddha platform. And then from there, one moves forward to prema. And then that, then you say, you stay. So when you say the eternal associates, means those are the ones that have come to prema. Right? Otherwise, then you're new persons. You know, we've decided. Because it doesn't say anywhere that we fell from Goloka. It doesn't say anywhere we fell from prema. But we've decided that nityasiddha means, because you hear something, yeah, you know, he's a nityasiddha, he's a pure devotee, he's on the platform, uttam bhakta, he's on the platform of prema. These are all different levels. But they'll all take them all as one. No? And so that creates confusion. You know, so Prabhupada says you fell from the pastimes, but it doesn't mean that you are taking part in the pastimes in prema. It means you're there, like the husbands of the gopis. They're there. Krishna's right outside the door. They don't go outside. The wives of the Brahmins, they go outside. You know? Does that make sense? So you're there, but it's not like you're doing anything. You know, it's like you're there at the festival and the Abhishek and the kirtan's going on, but you're on your phone answering messages. You're there, but not there. No?
Modernism.
Yeah, finally. Finally. It took me 10 years, but finally. Okay. So, thus they've had no fault. So the wise describe it. The wise describe it like this. You know, speculators may have a different idea, but the wise, they do like this. Sukadev spoke thus the verses. Anucheda 146 to 150. One must explain the previous verse of Jashoda and Nanda like that of Vasudeva and Devaki. The glories of this means that they were always associates of the Lord, but they came to when the Lord comes to perform pastimes and he appears, and so therefore he has parents. So he just brings his parents with him. Right? Since the child appears from the parents, parents have to be there first. Right? You know, it's just like Krishna of the Yadu dynasty. So Yadu dynasty is there first.
It solves this chicken and egg.
It solves the chicken and egg, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Send the chicken first, right? The glories of the Supreme Lord are studied through the three Vedas, the Upanishads, the literature of Shankhya Yoga, and other Vaishnava literature. Yet Mother Jashoda considered that supreme person an ordinary child. 10.8.45, Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, well, that's maybe the element of the fourth Veda. It's not so much about the Supreme Lord, it's about just the culture and everything like that, mechanics of it. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 15.15, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the purpose of studying the Vedas is to understand Him. Vidaischa saver aham eva vedyaha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Sanatana Goswami that there are three purposes in the Vedas. One is to understand our relationship with Krishna, sambandha. Another is to act according to that relation, avideya. And the third is to reach the ultimate goal, prayojana. The word prayojana means necessities. So here we say, one is to understand our relationship with Krishna, sambandha. So you have a relationship, but if you don't understand it, then you don't have sambandha gyan. Right? You may be situated, it means the soul is eternal, Krishna is eternal, you have an eternal relationship. But understanding it, that's sambandha. Then act according to that relationship, avideya. So, and before we're saying, your nityasiddha is that you're not conditioned. We're taking that, that's the definition. But then, from that definition, you're not understanding your relationship with Krishna. Therefore, you're not moving forward to prema. You're not moving forward to avideya and taking part. And then, by that association with the eternal associates, then coming to the platform of prayojana. So, yeah. The word prayojana means necessities. And the ultimate necessity is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That also makes a difference. We were discussing the other day about results. So generally we take result to be the physical result or we can see it.
Tangible
result, yes. That's a good one, tangible, because that can also be subtle. So tangible result. But the problem is it's a necessity. The result's not necessarily a necessity. It means it's a kind of, you can say, a temporary necessity in that you are a person who does the work and gets the results. You know, so you have to finish something. Right? But it's not actually a necessity for the soul. So it's a necessity for the soul, that's actually prayojana. Yes?
There also defines, in normal terminology, goal and purpose. Okay. Actually, goal and purpose should match. Otherwise, you may have some goal and the purpose doesn't match, then that's a duplicious.
Like your goal is to do a certain thing, but it may not be that that's actually the purpose of what you're doing. You know, it's just like, let's say, you manage the festival and you organized it so that you're the only one in charge, but that's not actually the purpose of the festival. It's to engage all the people in Krishna consciousness. So,
yeah,
so then they don't match. You know, there is some connection because you are running things, but then it's indirect. It doesn't have the direct thing that you're doing it to please Krishna. Maybe at the end of the day, then you see, okay, by Krishna's grace, and then it's there. And so at that point of offering, then you get some benefit there. You get the spiritual benefit, whatever should be gained. Yeah. Does that make sense? So this thing is necessity. So the ultimate necessity is the soul to be serving the Lord. Because by nature they're serving, so they have to serve. But what's the ultimate necessity is to serve Krishna. That's the, you know, Prabhupada's wording in the analysis of Bhagavad Gita. You know, so the soul's ultimate necessity.
So sometimes when we speak about ultimate goal, sometimes it's attaining love of God, sometimes it's said serving the Lord, sometimes it's said like surrendering to the Lord. So it's all a various aspects of the same thing. That when you speak from the goal perspective, it's attainment of something.
Something, yes.
Like attaining love of God is the goal. From the purpose perspective, then it's like surrendering to the Krishna. Attaining Vishnu.
Because if you know the purpose, you know it's actually what it's supposed to do. You know, so its purpose means it's the goal. But otherwise, we can have goals that don't necessarily attain the purpose.
So the purpose should necessitate the goal that is proper.
You know, like they said, let's say someone likes to you know, how you say, do these big public programs because of just the energy they get from people. People are there, they respond, they you know, it's like you know, like in the you just have someone who is a good public speaker, and then he lives off that energy from the crowd, like that. You know, that, or an actor, or a comedian, or, you know, somebody who does, a musician, if they did something far out and everyone just kind of, meh, you know, then they would feel real bad, because they do something and everyone gets enthused, they live off of that. And then when they don't have that, then they freak out. It's not that, oh yes, I did that, like that. It's that that's the thing. You know, because you see people, they were big, they were this and that, and now they retire. Yeah, that was a great thing, we did it, you know, we were young and that. But other people, then, they can't get that energy. So that was the goal. It wasn't the other things. You know, it's like it's about the music, but at the same time, the crowd loves it, so it just makes it even better. Does that make sense? Yeah.
It's interesting. If we change the wording, because our Italian friend, he was saying goal justifying the means. But if we say...
Oh, is that where it's from? It's from him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, so now we know where the authority lies.
Yeah, yeah. He's the original goal. Ah, okay. And then everybody followed the parampara.
Yes, okay, okay.
So then, but if we say purpose justifying the mean, it gives it completely different... You know,
yeah, yeah.
It doesn't match. You can't really say, because it gives it different connotation.
Yeah.
So it throws the whole thing off.
Yeah.
Because purpose, I guess, I'm not sure, but it means according to the nature of the thing, you have to, isn't it?
Yes.
So therefore, Sanskrit is so perfect, it says prema kumarta maha. That's it. It's like really, it's very clear in action. But, and
yeah, according to the nature, then, also means that the activity can't be different than the nature of what you're dealing with.
Exactly.
You know, it's, yeah. So you have to see is that how, you know. So it's, in other words, it's not the war of battle of Kurukshetra that gets the result. It's Yudhishthira Maharaj following his dharma. And because of dharma, then there's artha, then there's results. So it's not that, like that. Because Duryodhana thought, by war I'll get his result, which is to enjoy the kingdom.
Yeah, therefore, like you mentioned previously, relativizing thing, it's very difficult in the broader context. Yeah. But if we narrow down the context, like say, for example, what scientists did, they separated God from the creation.
Mm.
And maybe there, maybe it doesn't matter, you know, he's like, even if he is there, nothing to do with us. So that was like a big separation.
Mm.
Like, and then separating one entity from the other, taking out of their natural environment, natural relations.
Mm.
And then relativizing everything, separating all the elements, and then you can redefine anything, because it, on its own, it actually doesn't mean much. It exists, but doesn't have much meaning. So this is what scientists do. They just separate, you know, down to atom, or how, you know, whatever they call it. But if you take it back again with God in center, it's very difficult to redefine, you know, things and to relativize. Because everything has its purpose.
Yeah, everything has its relation with Krishna.
So this is like, this is very tricky how they did over, you know, so many years, and now people actually believe. And
now people actually like I was saying, growing up, you know, how I, in the environment, we had a particular, you know, kind of, not so much of that, there was an interest, but we had a particular political perspective. Then, you know, as time goes and you bump into others' perspectives, you start to find out that it's not necessarily that it is 100% good and the other is 100% bad. Is that the other is, it means the area where yours may be good, the other's bad, but the other where theirs is good, yours is bad. It's kind of like, what? No, we're completely right and they're completely wrong, you know.
Yeah.
But, The word prayojana means necessities, and the ultimate necessity is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prema Pumarto Mahan. The greatest necessity for a human being is the achievement of love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here we see that Mother Yashoda is on the highest stage of necessity, for she is completely absorbed in love for Krishna. In the beginning, the Vedic purpose is pursued in three ways, tri-yi, by karmakanda, jnanakanda, and upasanakanda. When one reaches the complete, perfect stage of upasanakanda, one comes to worship Narayana, or Lord Vishnu, right? Complete, perfect stage of upasana. Because the beginning stage of upasana will be you're worshiping like demigods and like this. But then the actual, ultimate, the position, complete or perfect stage of upasana is worship of Vishnu. Like that. That means without the others. This means it's a monotheistic. Right? As long as there's a polytheistic or all these, then it's not complete. When Parvati asked Lord Mahadeva, Lord Shiva, what is the best method of upasana or worship? Lord Shiva answered, Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnur aradhanam param. Vishnupasana or Vishvaradhanam. Worship of Lord Vishnu is the highest stage of perfection, as realized by Devaki. But here, Mother Yashoda performs no upasana, for she has developed transcendental ecstatic love for Krishna. Therefore, her position is better than that of Devaki. In order to show this, Srila Vyasadeva enunciates this verse, Traya Chopanishadhi, etc. When a human being enters into the study of the Vedas to obtain vidya, knowledge, he begins to take part in human civilization. Right, so human civilization, he begins when he starts to gain proper knowledge from the Veda, because then, since human life is for elevating yourself, the Vedic literature is about that elevation. Because otherwise you can say, there's no, we're elevating ourselves by, you know, cooperating with everybody and making everything nice between everybody and all that based on the bodily platform, you know, or more mundane values. But that doesn't necessarily elevate. It elevates maybe from being selfish, but it's only elevate you to the second platform. So even the more sophisticated, it's still always on that second platform. And so, since it's not based on the Veda, it's not based on the human values, you know, at least, knowledgeably. There may be elements, of course, you don't steal, that's there in the Veda. But they're following because it's just bad for the economy, you know, or bad for personal, you know, inspiration. And so, that's, they're looking at it, that it's there, so it doesn't go beyond. So, you won't get the benefit of Dharma from following that. Right? Does that make sense? You may get good result, but you'll get good result in that pranamoy environment, not in the Dharma environment. Only when one starts to see is that these laws are there, they're good, and these are explained by the Lord. Therefore, I should be following the Lord's laws. Then you start to get the manamoy results. So, you know, you get the results in the area that you're working within. No, just like the person on Manamoy knows he's not the body, he's the soul. But and so he's worried about doing everything nice for his benefit as the soul. But he doesn't understand the soul doesn't need anything material. So he doesn't get the benefit of Vijnanamoy. Does that make sense? You know, or the person on Anamoy knows that if I bother other people, it's bad for me. Right? If I make a snide comment at somebody, he may come over and give me trouble. I don't want trouble, because I don't like trouble. Right? It's not pleasing for my mind and senses. Therefore, don't bother anybody. You know, you have your personal rules, you know? Does that make sense? But that doesn't mean that it's Pranavoy. Because it's just about how your sense gratification will go nicely. Your rule, you know, doesn't bother others, so yours goes nicely. Pranamoy is you follow this rule so everyone's goes nicely. You know? That's why the person on Pranamoy doesn't actually have the problem with the person on Anamoy other than his self-centeredness. But that he's interested in Anamoy and sense gratification, that's not a problem for the person on Pranamoy. Just why only for yourself? The same endeavor, you could be working for everybody. And if everybody works for everybody, then how much greater everything will be. That's why he said it's extended sense gratification. You've just taken Anamoy and extended to include others. That's why it's called Pranamoy. It means they're alive too. Okay, so then we can include them. Yes?
We usually say agyatasya kriti regarding bhakti. The person doesn't know. But does it work for karma and jnana?
Not really.
Like, for example, person does something good without knowing.
Yes, but as Krishna mentions in that Govardhan Lila, when you actually know what you're doing and the benefits, you get more benefit. So they'll get benefit. Mm-hmm. Means if someone does good work, whether they understand it's good work or not, they'll get a benefit for it. But if they understand it, that means then, you know, they have that higher knowledge, they'll get a higher benefit. So what I'm meaning is that that means that they may be following a law of God, you know, that don't steal, but they're only doing that because, oh, if I steal, it makes me unhappy, and then if I steal, others will be unhappy. I don't want to make others unhappy. So it's a pranamoy thing. They'll get the benefit of that. So then they don't steal, then in the next life they'll be in a better situation where they're surrounded by people that have that mentality and don't steal from them. They don't steal, so people don't steal from them. But it doesn't give them the manamoy benefit. Because it's based on your consciousness. Right? Does that make sense? So in the world of karma, you get what you pay for. You can't get more. Otherwise it's unfair. Right? The person did nothing and then he gets $1 million and you did the same work and you only got 10 paisa, you know, why? So living entities would not be satisfied if it was not equal. So this idea that, you know, I'm going to get something for nothing is completely bogus because it can't work like that. It just can't. No one would tolerate. You know, you even see the animals. They do studies with animals. They take two animals and they train them, if you do this, then you get this result. And then once they got them where they do the work, then they've tried it where they give an uneven result. You know, like you got the monkey, you get him to do this, he pushes the button or something, and he gets one, whatever it is, you know, one peanut or whatever it is. And then the other one pushes it, he gets 10. The first monkey gets angry. It's like, what do you mean? I did the same work. It's not that he did more. It's not like he pushed it 10 times. And then if he sees, he pushed it 10 times, got 10 peanuts. I'll push it 10 times and get 10 peanuts. But no, it's just like, no, everyone expects it to be fair. You know? It's like, you know, you have an animal there and there's something to eat. And it's something and they're interested. You take it, break it in half, you know, show you like this, then they're cool with that. But if you kind of give them a little bit and you have it big, they get upset. You know, you break it in half. Then, because they eat quicker than we do, now, okay, this is left. Now, do they, you know, they've worked on the principle. What food was there, I got half. Right? You give them half. Then you eat, then they're finished already, you've only had one bite. So now, do I get half of what's left? You know, hence animals just shove it in their mouth. Right? They don't, you know, like those squirrels, they all just put it into a sitting like that.
That's only dogs or all monkeys. That applies to dogs, but monkeys, they first take what is in your hand.
Depends on the monkey. But the Rhys monkeys, yes, exactly. Yeah. It is. They're not cultured at all.
Langurs,
you can sit there, you can have a bunch of bananas, you hand them a banana, you take a banana. And then they finish their banana, there's more bananas, then they expect a banana, but then you hand them the banana. They won't grab it. But the Rhys monkeys, they'll just take the whole bunch of them and run. You know? They're not very cultured, those guys.
They have many traumas from before. Probably they had very traumatic.
Yeah. Well, they learned that as growing up. That's the way the bigger monkeys dealt with them. Well, the langurs probably share or something. Who knows? But it's. Yeah, because I'm just saying this because one devotee was telling me. He was sitting on the roof, you know, there was a langur sitting. He went up with a bunch of bananas and one by one handed it to the. He held the bananas and he handed it one by one. And if another one comes, then you hand them one.
They don't fight. Here they come, langurs, from Brahmachari Ashram, and Brahmacharis come sometimes. They have some bananas, you go, and the banana whom, whichever langur you give, only she gives. The other ones won't disturb.
Okay, they don't come and fight over it.
Okay. I think with the rice monkeys, because they're bullied so much in their childhood.
Maybe, but they're such bullies themselves. They're really.
It's all from the childhood.
Yes, it's childhood trauma. They need to see a therapist.
Long,
yeah, because they got that beard.
Black face.
But here Mother Shor performs no upasana, for he has developed transcendental ecstatic love for Krishna. Therefore, her possession is better than that of Devaki. Okay. When a human being enters into the study of the Vedas, let me see, well, that's where we were. He begins to take part in human civilization. Then he advances further to study the Upanishads and gain Brahmagyan, impersonal realization of the Absolute. And when he advances still further to Shankhya Yoga, in order to understand the Supreme Controller, who is indicated in Bhagavad Gita, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Param Am, Pavan, Purusham, Shasvatam, Bhagavad Gita 10:12. When one understands that Purusha, the Supreme Controller, to be Paramatma, one is engaged in the method of yoga. Jnana Vastita Tadgatena Manasa Pashyanti Yam Yoginaha. Srimad Bhagavatam 12:13:1. But Mother Jashoda has passed all these stages. She has come to the platform of loving Krishna as her beloved child, and therefore she is accepted to be on the highest stage of spiritual realization. Right, because you see, Devaki, then there's prayers in that, and then you have the aspect of when Krishna appears and all the nice prayers and all that, but then there's the parental, then that comes in. Yoga Maya, then she wants to, you know, Krishna takes that form as a baby, and then all the arrangements, the pastime is there. But Mother Jashoda, there's no, none of that. She just loves Krishna.
Maharaj, here it's interesting, Srila Prabhupada brings about that first impersonal realization of the Absolute is more on the level of Nyaya and Vaisheshika.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you further advance, then you go from to the Shankhya, then you Paramatma.
Shankhya and Yoga.
And then when you go for Mimamsa, it's more about, they discuss actually on the qualities of the Lord.
Mm. Well, because otherwise, you did work, he gives, so he's very fair, he's a judge, he's that. So it's also an extension of Paramatma, including some qualities.
That's how it proceeds a higher level. They don't have problem in about Bhagavad.
That God has qualities. But they're still seeing his Paramatma and gets the work done.
Yes.
It's not about you pleasing him.
The touch of Bhagavad is.
Yeah. Yes, okay, because of the qualities, yeah. But they're seeing the qualities in the aspect of action, so they're only seeing it actually in chit. But it's not that, the qualities of chit, they're not seeing it. Yeah, they're extending it to personal qualities. That God is fair, God is good. That's interesting, yeah.
But then, the Uttaramimamsa, which is Mayavad, it goes back into impersonal problems.
Yeah, and then you see it resets back to they just use logic, no?
But then I was thinking a logical continuation would be more feature of Bhagavan develops, and then it's a full feature there.
Yes, that is the natural. But that only happens by devotional service. You can't do it by logic. It means, in other words, you get up there and you're working with the finest philosophy, but if you only depend on the logic. You know, so it's that, I don't know, anyone knows the, after Bhajagovindam, what's the next words? No, Bhajagovinda, Mudamate, then?
Samprapya, Sanidhya, Kadi. Nay, nay, rakshiti, dukrun karam.
Yeah, so it means all your logical analysis won't work. So he said, just worship Govinda. So when they switch to that, then they'll get somewhere.
Also, it's categorized like that because the discussion in Uttaramimamsa starts with Ananda. So they all say that we are describing about Ananda Mayo Vyasa.
Okay. And then it just takes it up and up and up.
Yeah. Okay. We are discussing bliss. But for them, bliss means the bliss of Brahman, like not the bliss of Bhagavan. But before that, they don't discuss something bliss which is beyond the material creation. So that's why they are all categorized in Uttaramimamsa, because at least they are aiming at bliss which is beyond the material realm.
Means the goal is there, but the methods they're using are. But they can everything, because they're not going to use karma, so they've given up morality. Because morality means following God's laws. They only follow the shastra that explains how to get liberated. So they're not interested in all the social this, that, and everything. So they don't do anything because it's moral. They do something because it'll get liberation. You know, while the Manamoy, the Karmi, then he does something because it's God's law, and then you get good benefit. But you know, the impersonalists have gone. So you've gone from it's just about me, where it's then no, you have to restrict that. It's about people. No, then it has to be about God. But it's just God, but in context of me. Then it goes, no, it's have to go transcendental in the context of myself. Then it has to be that it's God, the transcendental, in the context of himself. So we have to switch from this, you know. The reason that we do things in our position is because of Krishna, his position. So it starts with Krishna, then comes to us, rather than it's us, then Krishna.
Yeah. So just to clarify that point on the five koshas, we've mentioned that the intermediate positions, the second and the fourth, and you just explained that the second actually comes from extended first.
First, yes.
But the fourth, is it an extended of fifth position? I mean, it comes from there?
Means you could say it's a... everything ultimately comes from there.
Yeah.
Everything ultimately comes from there. But... I would say it still is coming from Dharma, but in other words, I'm the soul. Why I should get temporary results? I should get eternal results.
So it's extended manamaya.
Yeah, like that. But it has its own platform. You know, means in that it's clearly. But where's the rasa? They either will move forward to transcendental rasa, or they'll move backwards to philanthropic activities. You know, being a religious guy, showing up at all the temple, you know, activities and you know, giving blessings and, you know, doing something there. to some extent, just like the pranamaya. Either they'll move forward to religion or they'll move back to anamaya. Mm-hmm. So that's what you see when you see the... In one sense, you can look at it, if you look at it from that religious platform, you know, this platform of consciousness, when you're dealing, at least in the modern, you know, I could say, specifically in the Western world, you know, probably specifically America, then you have the liberal and the conservative. The conservative leans towards God, while the liberal leans towards anamaya.
Hmm.
They talk pranamaya, but their goal is anamaya.
Yeah.
Like that. So that's where the problem comes, because anything that gets in the way of the liberal sense gratification, they want to throw it out. So any tradition, anything like that, that they see may limit my abilities and benefits, but it's about me, then we should throw it out. Because a few people talk about it, nobody cares. But once it gets kind of critical mass, then it's taken as serious just because it has volume, right? Because the Shudra mentality, volume is important. Because then you have enough people that it's about themselves. Rather than, no, this is, you know, God and country. The others don't care if it's good for God or country as long as it's good for themselves. Yes?
In that aspect that from Manomaya stage to go to the next stage, the mechanics is used is of Manomaya. But it actually is featuring the Sat and Chit aspects of the Supreme Lord. At one place, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained that the Lord extends till like...
Yeah, and Adhokshaja.
Adhokshaja.
Yeah.
So because that down. Is the Sat and Chit features of the Lord, and the final state is just Ananda. So we connect from our mundane state through to the whatever Vijnanamaya state, through the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
That's why in Manomaya stage is mentioned about the scriptures, that chanting the mantras, and that is the most, like following the Vedic whole thing. And Vijnanamaya is knowing the inner meaning. Now you're searching for God within this. So you're moving from your mundane, like just the samasta, to beyond.
Okay, so from our Anyutas, where it's kind of like understanding the meaning of the ritual, the esoteric, to the Uttara Mimamsa of knowing the esoterics of the mantra.
Yes, yes.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I remember we studied this during the notes on the Bhagavad.
Yes,
you're
yes.
Referring to that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now I remember. Yeah, about you not talk.
Yeah, so it's all connected, because it's all about Krishna. Because then you see is that, because from that, the levels of understanding is that Adhokshaja, that's where Krishna comes to. That means that's where he'll be manifest, or at least perceivable in the material world, is that he pervades everything. He makes everything work. So, therefore, if you follow your dharma, then you can connect to Adhokshaja. You can also, without the karma activities, then just be absorbed in the jnanamoy of how Krishna is in everything. Like, I can appreciate Krishna's in the tree, and therefore then the tree does its work, and it does it, it follows its nature, and gives the fruits and flowers and shade and how it lives and all these things like that. And it's all Krishna's potency. So without having to interact with the tree, right? For the karmi, then they'll plant the tree, it's an auspicious tree, they'll take care of the tree, you know, they'll deal with the tree properly, where it's placed on their property, they'll have it in the right place, you know, so it's not in a place that's bad for anybody, you know, because of all these things. So that manamoy is basically the lowest that the Lord will go. He goes through everything, but if you're dealing with him as a person, you know, or at least as Paramatma, that's as low. Let's go. Brahman, everything's the Lord. Right? And you can see everything in context of the Lord, because if you see the senses in context of the Lord, then it at least is minimum manamoy. You know, and if you're seeing or, you know, doing detached the duty and all, then it brings it to vijnanamoy. And you're seeing it for Krishna's pleasure, then anandamoy. But the pranamoy and anamoy, unless you bring them up and connect them to dharma or to the manamoy platform, they're not connected. They're just, they won't, they won't, they're not elevating, they're not progressive.
Like, as a personifications, then at the Manomaya, he's called as Yajna Purusha, like offering the results to the Lord.
Mm.
But that also means that I give and then I get something.
Mm-hmm. Yajna Purusha, yeah, 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 he's the Lord of Yajna.
At the Vijnanamaya Purusha, then it is more on like understanding the inner truth, he is the
soul.
Veda Purusha.
Oh, okay, the Veda Purusha, okay. That's, and then Anamaya Prana?
Anamaya is...
just the senses.
Yeah, Anna, like we worship Annapurna and
okay.
The Lord.
And then Pranamaya is just life, what's good for life. Yeah, it's amazing. They're into life, but they don't mind problems of life as long as it's the... if it's not the group of life that they care about, they don't care.
Or the inner prana is the yogis kind of meditate the, on mundane level, that the Lord is the energy, the driving force, the Buddha is the...
yeah, Buddhists also on that level. Okay. Okay, yeah, just seeing that.
Tao.
Hmm?
Tao?
Tao, yeah. Tao. Hmm? No.
No Tao.
No Tao? Tao?
Tao.
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 Tao. Tao. Tao. You follow the Tao, know the Tao. See, it's Tao up to the border of Bengal. When it gets to Bengal, then it becomes the Tao. But Mother Jashoda has passed all these stages. She has come to the platform of loving Krishna as her beloved child. And therefore, she's accepted to be on the highest stage of spiritual realization. The absolute truth is realized in three features: Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan Iti, Shaktiyate. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11. But she is in such ecstasy that she does not care to understand what is Brahman, what is Paramatma, or what is Bhagavan. Bhagavan has personally descended to become her beloved child. Therefore, there is no comparison to Mother Jashoda's good fortune, as declared by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ramya kachid upasana vrajavadhu vardagena ya kalpita. The absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, may be realized in different stages. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4.11, Ye yatamam prapadyante, tamstataiva bhajamyaham, mama vartmanu vartante, manushya partasarvasaha. As men surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Prita. One may be a karmi, a jnana, a yogi, and then a bhakta or prema bhakta, but the ultimate stage of realization is prema bhakti, as actually demonstrated by Mother Jashoda. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.45 purport. So even she's beyond the Bhagavan realization, because she doesn't care about Bhagavan, she just likes Krishna for what he is. So that's the thing, is that you'll have his outside in the quadrangle in Goloka, there they're worshipping Bhagavan, but in Braj they're just loving Krishna. So you see, there's a slight, it's beyond even that Bhagavan realization. It's the highest form of Bhagavan realization. Because you have Bhagavan as in, you know, something.
Yeah, in that verse, it starts Aradhya Bhagavan Rajeshatamaya. So he is Bhagavan.
Yes.
So he is the son of Nanda Baba.
Yeah.
So that specifies his form. And then it's interesting that Srila Prabhupada quotes that part, Ramya Kachidu Pasanam Vrajavan Vargena Ya. And usually, acharyas, they comment by specifically giving the explanation of that part. they say following the footsteps of gopis of Braj means young gopis of Vrindavan. Mm-hmm. But here Srila Prabhupada uses the exact same line, saying that it's an upasana of Mother Yashoda. She mm-hmm. just loved her son.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be used in the both ways.
The point is that your upasana means when you're worshipping the person, and it comes down to that highest. Because like you see the Shanta Bhakti is Bhaktas, the Dasya Bhaktas in Vaikuntha. Like that. But then you'll see is that then the understanding of the residence of Dwarka and Mathura. Then you have the residence of Braj, so that's the highest. Right? So that's there. Then you can also apply that same feature of three on Braj. Because Krishna being Satchitananda, then you always have this aspect of threes. You know, so he's the Lord of threes. And so then you can apply it there. You know, just like even within the gopis, then you have the younger gopis, you always have the threes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also, another aspect is that when we refer to Bhagavan, what defines Bhagavan is that sweetness, the Madhurya aspect. And everybody in Braj has that.
Yes.
So anybody in Braj, that's why I always consider it much higher than Dwaraka or anything below Vaikuntha.
Mm-hmm.
Because sweetness is what they're tasting.
Mm-hmm.
But if sweetness can be tasted in the mood of friendship or in a mood of
Madhurya.
And in the mood of conjugal is much more intense, complete.
Mm-hmm.
That's why that is given as the highest example, but we can give example of the other two as well.
Yes. There's also another thing, if you're doing aradhana, that of worship, then the worship then is coming from, is that platform of Abhideya. Right? Abhideya is the middle platform of the sat-chit. And so of the chit, what expands from chit, is going to be servitorship, friendship, and parental.
Mm.
And so within that, then the highest is going to be
parental.
And of that is going to be Mother Yashoda. That's the wonderfulness. The principle always apply. You apply it, you know, here, then, you know, it's just like Prabhupada says, he's showing about how those who, you know, follow the Vedic culture, then just how great it is and how much they're recognized. And in that, he'll count Vipakananda. You know? And then when you apply, okay, that's on the whole world, then you're going to take that. Now when you apply it on there, then Vipakananda drops off. Then he'll say the Acharyas, and he'll include Shankara.
Yeah.
You know? And then when he's being very specific, then Shankara drops off, then it's just the four Sampradayas. Then it'll be Lord Chaitanya, then it'll be like this. So the same principle. You know, it's like when you know the principles of cooking, whether you're doing elaborate or doing something simple, they still apply. So someone who knows all that, even though cooking is simple prep, they're contemplating all the angles of what you can do as much as if they're doing a complicated prep. Just that there's less items within each step. Instead of, at this point, I put in five spices, I may only put in one spice.
Yeah, it's like a management. Once you got beyond 100 people, to manage 1,000, it's the same like 120 people. It's the same principle actually. Yeah. And, you know, good managers I've seen, they put exactly the same amount of energy into that. Then it goes up to, I don't remember, 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to be on that level. And I think in Manu they mentioned that you know, it goes in certain numbers.
Okay.
And then one batch, then the next, and but yeah, it's understanding the principle, it's the main thing.
Yes, that's then it can always be. And then someone according to their capacity can apply it on a greater level or a finer level. But you see, is there maybe an artisan working in the same field that is very expert and is the best in his area, But it, what he's dealing with may not be as developed and refined as someone else. Mm-hmm. You know, like that. But he's still a master in his area because he's applying it only within this much, while someone else is applying it at some either more refined or at a bigger. So that's the wonderfulness of the Vedic system. Is someone's master, all masters can talk together. You know. It's just about how big you're going to talk, but they can all talk on the same level. Neither Brahma nor Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Lord, the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Yashoda. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.9.20. Hearing such glorification of Yashoda, Parikit was surprised. What pious acts did Nanda perform to cause such affection, and what pious acts did most fortunate Yashoda perform so that the Lord drank from the breast? Great devotees sing of the activities of Krishna's childhood, which Vasudeva Devaki could not experience, and which even today destroy the sins of all people. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.46-47. Krishna, pleased with Nanda and Yashoda, appeared in this world. To follow the orders of Brahma, Drona, the best of the Vasus, along with his wife, Dara, spoke to Brahma in this way. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.48. The order of Brahma was that they should protect the cows. Drona then spoke. Being born on earth, may we too develop prema bhakti to the attractive Lord, engaged in sweet pastimes, though he is the Lord of the universe. By this bhakti, others in this world will easily cross material existence. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.49. When Brahma said, "Yes, let it be so," the most fortunate Drona appeared in Vraja as famous Nanda Maharaj and his wife. Dara appeared as Mother Yashoda. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.50. Thereafter, O best of the Bharatas, the bhakti of Nanda, Yashoda, and all the cowherd men and women remained in its highest form, directed towards Krishna, who had become their son, who was longed for but not attained by others. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.51. But so we see here, the aspect is, what are they asking for? Being born on earth, may we too develop prema bhakti to the attractive Lord. You don't see that mentioned in Devaki. And not that they, you know, it's not the interest, but it was specifically, it's about that. Engaged in sweet pastimes, though he is the Lord of the universe. I mean, he may be the Lord of the universe because of the sweet pastimes. By this, by others in the world will easily cross material existence. So they're worried. So we see Devaki and Vasudeva is about being his son. Right? He's the Supreme Lord. He comes as their son. They want a son like him. So there is no one like him, so he comes. Because it isn't done in devotion. But because there's the aspect of, by they want to worship him in prema bhakti, and by others seeing that pastimes, they themselves will cross over the material. That wasn't mentioned in Devaki and Vasudeva. Yes?
Also this aspect is making the mission of the Lord your own mission. So that is actually the beginning of friendship. That it goes beyond the survivorship.
So it's dasya, so then you go to sakya. Yes?
It's very difficult to understand reading those parts, which is already in a 10th canto. Why there's a mixture of causeless and causation? Why? Like, we know that Nanda Baba is an eternal, mm-hmm. eternal position. Mm-hmm. It's causeless. He is who he is. Mm-hmm. But then it's explained as if there is cause and effect. Like his development into that position, mm-hmm. and then. You know, we have to deal, this is causeless, this is causation, and it's in the same place.
Yes, same place.
So it's kind of, I mean, most everybody don't pay attention, but those who do, mm-hmm. they like wonder why.
Because it's human pastimes. Human pastimes always has to be a cause. Atato Brahma Jigyasa, you have to inquire why. Yes.
This question is highly relevant because the next topic is on that, the prakat and aprakat lila of the Lord.
Okay, so that
because means, having described all this, natural question comes is that as you say this, you say everything is eternal, but you see that Krishna moves from one place to another, you say all the devotees are eternal, like
this is not unnatural.
No. What we're saying is that's the next topic. Like that, that's the next topic.
So the whole discussion, such great details.
Because we just read the same passage at the end of Lagu Bhagavatamrita, and I just read through, and then students, they didn't pay much attention, so I was thinking, okay, I'm not going to get into, you know, into controversy again.
You don't want to spark 100 questions.
Yes. So
I say you don't want to spark any north of the Volga questions. Okay.
So, but then to myself, I thought it's kind of strange a bit. But then when he read it here again, I was thinking, okay, this is the chance to ask.
Yeah, so it's coming up in the next adhyaya, right?
Next adhyaya. Now it just finishes off explaining everybody, all the devotees are eternal and then they are special because they have all the qualities, natures of the Lord. And next is then describing the two questions were asked. One is, how can all the places be eternal if Krishna is moving? How can Krishna eternally perform pastimes in all the places if he is moving from one place to another? And then the other one I forgot. The two questions.
But basically it says these kind of things where we might doubt the transcendental position.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.